Hello, everybody, and welcome back into another Hockey Writers Podcast preview show here. We're running through. We're about halfway through the teams now, and we're getting closer and closer to the regular season starting, joined in by my co-host Kyle Knopp, as always. And we're doing the Tampa Bay Lightning today. As you can see, Jim Bay is with us. He did our playoff preview shows. Thanks, Jim, for coming on.
Oh, thank you for having me. Looking forward to the season starting.
Yeah, so we saw a lot of Jim went all the way to the Stanley Cup final last year. So we were all the way right up to the end. So that was fun doing that. So starting a new season, and Lightning could, you know, we'll see if they can make it to the final for a fourth straight year. I don't know when was the last time that happened. I don't know. I'd have to look that up. But it's been a long time if that has happened. Probably back in when the Montreal Canadiens or something like that. that would happen, right?
I think it was the Islanders in the 80s, maybe.
Yeah, Islanders. Yeah, it could be one of those.
I know the Capitals went, I think, four straight Eastern Conference Finals, but they, had that string of luck where they could never get over the hump. So
it's been a while.
It's probably been, closer to 40 years than one would think.
Yeah, but that's a long ways away. We haven't started the season yet, but that's going to be fun to watch and see if that can happen. But like I say, long ways to go. So let's start with the new additions and the forwards, which, I mean, the Tampa Bay Lightning didn't really do much on the forward side. They did add one guy or reacquired him or something like that. Vladislav Namestnikov, who played with the Lightning way back when. He's kind of bounced around a few teams, the Red Wings being one of them, and was with the Dallas Stars right before last season too. So Jim, I'll ask you about him. What do you think he's going to bring to the lineup on his second go around here?
I think the reason why they brought him back is to get some of that chemistry back with Kucherov and Stamkos and some of the other players that he played with before. They got him really cheap because, the last couple of seasons, he hasn't done much. They haven't really asked him to do much. Dallas is a pretty defensive team. He was, he wasn't asked to do a lot of offense. And now that he's back in Tampa, what we've been hearing from the captain skates is that he is really bonding with Kucherov. And, there may be even some speculation that, especially with Cirelli being out at the beginning of the year, that he may get a look on the first line with Braden Point, and then Stamkos could go down to the second line with Paul and Hagel or a few other guys. So that was a pretty good addition, to bring in somebody who, fits under the salary cap, which the Lightning were against, and B has some previous chemistry and has a good skill set that was probably underutilized the past two seasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I think, Namestnikov always kind of got the short end of the stick in Detroit, especially in the middle of their rebuild. But he, like you said, he's got familiarity with the organization down there with some of the players, and now he can come in and build on that chemistry. So I think that's a great fit for them. You mentioned Nick Paul. He was really one of the only other, big moves through the offense this offseason. They re-signed him after bringing him in at the trade deadline, I believe, last year. What are your expectations for him in his first full season with the Lightning, and will he end up living up to that extension?
I think he'll live up to the extension. I think what, they kind of expected him is what they, what they did. They got a player, who goes in and grinds it out every night, and he really provided some, clutch moments in the playoffs. You go back to the game winning goals he had in against Colorado. And of course the ever, famous two goals he had against Toronto. Sorry, Maple Leafs fans, that you relive that, but that's the kind of things he just shows up at big moments. He'll go along, do his job, and all of a sudden there he is. And I think that's what, they expect from him. And I think that's what he'll deliver, because that's the kind of player, that he was, but he never got the chance like in Ottawa to do it on a bigger stage like the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I love his game. I think I put him on a trade target list last year for the Canucks to grab at the deadline, and obviously didn't happen, but you know, he's that type of player. And I wasn't surprised that he started performing in the playoffs, because that's just, you know, you saw it, and that's just the types of the players you need. And that's what he did. So I'm expecting he's probably gonna be a big part of the team. Like, we'll talk about guys that left, and one of the bigger guys that left, but he's probably going to have a chance to get elevated in the lineup, like you said, second line maybe. And he did that, you know, with the injuries to Point in the playoffs. He kind of was elevated up the lineup and performed pretty well. So I'm expecting him to be really good this year, and you know, in a full season. And even though the, you know, the money's higher, he's going to be paid a lot more, but he's just that type of player, just comes to play, like you said, and just performs. And that's just, it doesn't matter if he's getting paid $100,000 or, you know, 10 million, he'll play the same way. So
I'm sure he'd prefer the 10 million though.
No, it seems crazy for that, but you know, you know what I mean, right? It doesn't matter what he's getting paid. He'll do the same thing.
Right. He shows up, he does his job, he works hard. Like, he's one of those guys that everyone wants a Nick Paul type player on their, you know, third line's awesome to be there, but I think you're right. I think he's going to get more opportunities at the second line this year.
Yeah. All right, we'll talk about another guy that's similar type player. He played on the third line as well. Brandon Hagel came over from the Chicago Blackhawks at the trade or around the trade deadline. And, you know, they had to give up a ton to get him, but now he's part of the core. So long-term, what do you see coming from Hagel this season?
What I would like to see is the player that had, what do you have, like about 37 points in 55 games, I think, with the Blackhawks last year. He really picked up his scoring. And when he came to Tampa, he kind of struggled a little bit, you know, getting the chemistry. I think being only 23 years old and playing on such a, you know, veteran-laden team, I think that kind of overwhelmed him a little bit. But now he's got that experience with him. He played well in streaks during the regular season in the playoffs. Now that, you know, he's going to go into training camp with him, he's familiar with all the players. I would hope that he's going to produce similar numbers to what he did with the Blackhawks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think you're right. He kind of was finding that role within that team. The Blackhawks were a very young team and very, you know, just free flowing, letting them kind of go and figure out their own game as they went. Whereas the Lightning are very much systematic and, you know, approach their team or their game in a whole, you know, style as a team. And he was still trying to figure out what that role would be for him. But I agree. I think he's poised for a much bigger role, a much bigger season this year. And part of that, you know, for Hagel and for Nick Paul is because of Andre Palat leaving in free agency. You know, due to salary cap issues, the Lightning couldn't really keep Palat around and had to let him walk. So how much is Tampa going to miss his contributions, not just in that regular season being that, you know, secondary scorer for the team in big games throughout, you know, the regular season, doing it consistently, but also in the playoffs where he was putting up some big numbers in the first couple of rounds?
Yeah. And I think actually the season before last, he was their leading scorer in the playoffs. And I think they're going to miss that quite a bit. And I think, you know, in addition to the scoring, the reason why he got so many scoring opportunities is because he's a guy who took the pressure off of Kucherov and Stamkos. If you started focusing too much on them, whether they're, you know, one of them or both of them are playing on the line, he took full advantage of that, which would be the natural thing for a team to do. And when he had that opportunity, he made the most of it. And it was a tough thing. I mean, the salary cap, that's kind of what it's intended to do, is to make sure that teams like Tampa don't, you know, keep spending money and keeping all these, you know, players to themselves. So, you know, now he's, you know, off to New Jersey, and Tampa's going to have to find a way. I don't think it's going to be one player. I think it's going to be a couple players that are going to have to, you know, kind of alternate and replace him.
Well, that's a good segue into the next question, was who do you see stepping into that Palat's role? I mean, Palat usually played on the first, second line, kind of bounced around there, played with Stamkos a lot. Who do you see kind of playing there this season? Because they didn't really get anyone like Namestnikov. He could maybe. Who do you see there?
Well, yeah, Namestnikov could be one of them. You know, hopefully a Braden Point can you know, do, you know, he was fantastic. When they sorely missed him in the playoffs last year.
That
was an unfortunate injury. Then you're ready for, you know, maybe a young guy like Ross Colton to step up. And, you know, I think he's about ready to, you know, to put up some more numbers and take a bigger role. And I think if anybody, any group of players, the players we mentioned before and Colton are the ones that are going to have to be doing that, like on a rotating basis or whoever's hot or whoever the matchup is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would love to see Colton kind of fill that role. I love his game, and it would be great to see him be able to jump in and really take off because he's got that potential.
Yeah.
I like Colton's game too. I think he's poised for that breakout season, I think, that this season. So I may have taken one of your answers, but that's what I think later on. But yeah.
No, Colton, exactly. He's like Hagel. He's another young guy who I think kind of like stepped back a little bit and, you know, was kind of just like following the veterans. And I think now he's got enough in him to say, okay, you know, this is your time now, Mr. Colton.
Yeah.
you know, you are now kind of the veteran of this team. Let's get up on, you know, one of those, you know, top nine forward positions and, you know, show us what we know you can do, what we've seen before, especially in the AHL and different things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's talk about this forward group as a whole before we move on and talk about the other positions. The last, or their two Stanley Cup years, right, when the Lightning went back-to-back, they were riding that success off of their depth and their third line that could score and shut down other teams. Last year, they had Nick Paul that they brought over and Corey Perry, who tried to fill that role after losing Coleman and Gord. Now heading into this season, they lost Palat, who is also a big part of that scoring line. So as a whole, how does this forward group match up with their division rivals in the Atlantic?
Well, I think for the division with, you know, there's such a gap between the top four and the bottom four. I think they're fine with the top four, you know, whether they're third or fourth, you know, kind of, you know, I think there's some probably other teams that maybe, you know, on paper have better forward groups. I think they're up there and I think they're fine and they'll hold their own. And, you know, I still think they're significantly better than, you know, the teams that were on the bottom four last year. And even though most of them improved, you know, in the off season, I still think they're, you know, substantially better than that, you know, that group.
Mm. Okay. Well, I mean, they've still got their elite talent. You know, you lose Palat, but I mean, you still got Stamkos, Kucherov, Point, and they still got some pretty good forwards.
As long as the three of them can stay healthy, Killorn. I mean, they're always going to be toward the top of whatever league or division they're in.
Yeah, I mean, and Hagel can score 20. I mean,
yeah.
You know, there are a lot of guys, and you don't know what, you know, Nick Paul can do, you know, playing in the elevator role all season too. So, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah. You brought up Killorn. He's kind of another like sneaky guy. I was looking at last year's stats. I'm going, really? Yep. Yeah. That many points.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem that way, but he just kind of, you know, I'm doing my thing. I'm not flashy, but you know, I get the job done. So, you know, he's a nice compliment to Stamkos and Kucherov and all the other guys.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's going to be interesting to see. That's a discussion, but if they are going to re-sign him too, because I think he's in a contract year this year too. So that's going to be interesting to follow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's shift to the defense now and talk about a couple. I mean, this is where some of the new additions came, and they also lost a couple guys too. Brought in Ian Cole and Hayden Fleury, not necessarily high-end guys, but they can help out. What do you think about those additions to the team this year?
They were nice additions. They're going to be, you know, bottom, you know, the third pairing, maybe even seven. Sometimes Cooper likes to go with 11 forwards and seven defensemen. You know, they're brought in to eat minutes. They're going to be down on the third line or the seventh guy. They need to come in. They just need to do their job. You know, like I said, eat minutes. you know, play to what they're capable of, and make sure that all the other defensemen, you know, are healthy and you know, getting enough time, you know, off the ice, you know, so they can play to their maximum. Cole brings a nice pedigree of already having two Stanley Cups. He had a, you know, pretty solid year with Carolina last year.
Yeah.
Carolina was very stout, you know, defensively, especially at home. So he was a nice, you know, kind of a nice budget, you know, player to bring in. Fleury, that's a nice pickup because he was like a top 10 pick and just really hasn't hit his stride. And, you know, Tampa has sometimes gotten those guys that are, you know, they're mid-level draft picks, some guys that aren't doing well, and they come in and in their system, they can really get them to bring out their best. So they were two very nice budget conscious acquisitions that they did in the offseason.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think both of those guys are going to fill in nicely for the two players that we'll talk about in a minute that, you know, left this offseason. But Ian Cole, veteran, you know, going to fit right in line with that defensive core. Hayden Fleury, like you said, young guy, never really developed into that, you know, puck moving defenseman play driver that they expected him to be. But, you know, you put him with the right pairing on Tampa Bay's line and he can just give him the green light and say, you know, go figure out what you can do and we'll go from there. So that could be a fun dynamic to watch this season.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's talk about the backbone of that defense, Victor Hedman. He had a career high 85 points last season, but lost out to the Norris to Roman Josi, who had 92 points. Wait, no, he also lost to Cale Makar. Well, that's a whole different segment we can talk about later. But do you expect Hedman to maintain that level of production this season, or is he kind of toward the area of the arc where it's starting on the downturn?
I don't think he's starting on the downturn. I just think 85 is, you know, is a very lofty kind of goal to
true,
you know, attain for him, you know, in a second season, especially as we'll get into. I think the loss of McDonough is going to require him to pay, you know, a little bit more, you know, attention to, you know, defense, depending on who he's paired up with.
Yeah.
You know, they're still going to be working on that throughout. There's you know, speculation that it'll be Eric Cernak. They might even put, you know, young Cal Foot up there with him to, you know, kind of help bring him along, you know, a bunch of other pairings. So I think 85 is unrealistic. And if you said, oh, he's going to do 75, I would take that in a minute. I'd even take 70. I think that was just such a career kind of year.
Yeah.
And maybe a little bit more of an anomaly than what you expect, but he, you know, he was fantastic. And could he do it again? Maybe he steps up and takes more of the, you know, offensive load off, you know, some of the guys that are missing. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with him, you know, this season.
Well, it was insane. Those three defensemen, like, what the heck?
I mean, yeah, like any other
guy
year,
had 85 points, he doesn't win the Norris Trophy. And then another guy at 92 doesn't win the Norris.
Yeah, any other year, either of those guys are winning it, like, unanimously.
Yeah, it won't even be close. Yeah.
But just happened to be last year, everyone wanted to just be overachievers, apparently.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see for the whole NHL of how all this kind of, because that was a lot of goals, a lot of scoring. Oh.
Most ever in the NHL in a season. I mean, granted, we had a whole nother team that played 82 games, so that's going to make it automatically, you know, most games ever. But most scoring ever in the NHL season.
Yeah. Insane. Well, we mentioned his name, and, you know, he had to be traded again, salary cap. Stuff like that. Ryan McDonough traded to the Nashville Predators, who we haven't talked about Nashville yet. They're an insane defense core there. So who is going to replace his minutes? So you talked about Hedman, but he already plays a ton. So how much more can he play? who is going to have to step up to replace him?
Well, the first thing I'm going to say is I don't think anybody's going to replace McDonough in the locker room. I think that's where he's going to be. You know, the biggest loss is there. He's such a team leader, you know, that veteran presence, that's going to be tough to replace. You know, they have a lot of other veterans there. I think, you know, they'll be okay. But I think, you know, especially beginning of the season, they're going to miss that. As far as his minutes and his time, now it's time for, you know, the two guys they gave extensions to, Eric Cernak and Mikhail Sergachev, to, you know, this is your time, guys.
Yep.
This is what you've been kind of grooming. Again, some of those young guys that may have been kind of like, you know, I'm with the veterans. Here you go. You're the veteran. You know, here's your opportunity. You're probably going to play, you know, in the, you know, top two D lines. It's now it's time to step up and start playing.
Yeah.
And I think they will. I think that there's a lot of talent there. It's just what they won't be able to do is replace that, you know, veteran leadership on the ice too. He was, you know, a leader on the ice, especially on the ice. He was one of the leaders on the penalty kill. So
yeah,
that'll be another area that somebody will have to step up and, you know, take those minutes too.
Yeah. Well, Sergachev, I think in particular is the guy that I think is going to have to really step up the most. I know he plays in the top four mostly too anyway. Right. But I think he's going to be, elevated into different responsibilities that he usually didn't have because McDonough is there. Right. And, and the guy we're going to talk about next too. So, we'll see.
Yeah, and the fact, you know, Sergachev, I believe, is their only other left-handed defenseman right now. Besides, they don't have many, at least, or besides Hedman.
Regular.
Yeah, besides Hedman, because McDonough was as well, but, you know, Ruda or Cernak, Ian Cole, I believe Hayden Fleury are all righties. You're missing a left-hand shot and replacing him with two righties. That can be interesting as well, dynamic. But all right, so we kind of already talked about, you know, what McDonough brings to that locker room. He was a captain with New York before he came over. Kind of talk about Ian Cole being that veteran presence that can kind of replace that a little bit, maybe on the ice, off the ice. But how much will the Lightning really miss not only McDonough, but Jan Ruda? Because he was kind of a quiet presence on that ice and a calming presence, because he was always seemed to be in the right spot. You never really noticed him, you know, one of those guys that you could rely on. So, on the ice, but especially off the ice, can you talk to what this team is going to miss the most about these two players?
Well, again, the leadership, Ruda, I think it was his steady presence that allowed Hedman to do what Hedman needed to do, because he's one of the guys and say, okay, maybe I want to take this risk and, you know, push myself offensively because I know Rude is going to be back there covering me. He was such a security blanket for Hedman and anybody else that, you know, he was, you know, paired up with. And I think that's the thing that they're going to miss most, because if you look at some of the other guys, the defensive security blanket may not be there, and that will probably be the thing. And I think you're going to miss that with McDonough too. That's another thing. You could put McDonough in there and say, okay, I can step up on the blue line and try to make this play and, you know, help on the offensive side. And I know I've got there. Now the players that are coming up are going to have to earn that trust.
Yeah.
Yeah,
in the roles that they're playing, and we'll see how that develops, especially in the beginning of the season.
Yeah, well, I think Jan Ruda is going to be the biggest loss to me. I think he's very underrated defenseman.
Very underrated. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I mean, I'm thinking they're going to miss McDonough too, but I think Ruda is going to be. He's like, to me, he's like Chris Tanev in Vancouver. Here, you don't know what you miss until he's gone. Like you're like, well, we can handle it, but. I they bring so much to the locker room, to the ice, and like that security blanket's massive for those defensemen that, you know, they're used to a guy that's always there, and then all of a sudden they're going with someone that they're not trusting as much in that, and they hesitate just that little second, and then, you know, it's problems. So it's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out. But I mean, Ian Cole's a pretty good underrated type guy too. That's that steadying presence. So he may be able to step in and be that. So it's going to be interesting to watch how that all the adjustments kind of happen.
Yeah.
All right. Well, as we talked about the forward group being, you said more in that top kind of section. What do you think about the defense now, losing these two guys? Where do they kind of match up in the Atlantic right now?
I think it's about the same. I think they're fine with the top four. you know, from the playoffs last year. Of course, when you have Victor Hedman on the ice, that, you know, kind of, you know, definitely tilts the ice in your favor to, you know, just about anything, you know, and compared to, you know, some of the other teams as we were doing our previews and looking at seeing like, you know, what, you know, sorry, Detroit and, you know, Montreal might, you know, struggle a little bit back there. I think they're, you know, they've got a good gap between those teams still, just like, you know, I just like the forwards do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're still, even though they lost two key pieces to that defense, they still have so many weapons back there and can attack from the back end. I mean, Sergachev likes to attack. Hedman can attack. I mean, they have so many weapons back there. And if Fleury ends up being that puck moving, play driving defenseman that he's supposed to be, like, he could end up taking off, yeah, you know, with that core. All right, well, let's talk about goaltending. And when you talk about Tampa Bay goaltending, you're really only talking about Andrei Vasilevskiy. I mean, he's coming back after leading his team to yet another Stanley Cup final, 71 games played in the last 3 years of playoff games. I mean, just take a moment to think about that. Almost a full season in just playoff games, all right? Which obviously means he's looked fatigued at times, not only through the regular season, but through some of the playoffs on some of those back-to-back games, or especially after a long, shot-heavy filled game. So how much of a priority is it going to be for the Lightning to get Brian Elliott more reps to give Vasilevskiy that rest for another playoff push?
Well, how much is it a priority for me or for John Cooper? I think we're on different pages on that. I thought he should have had more rest last year. I think he needs more rest this year. I think Elliott, and you know, if they have to bring somebody up from Syracuse, you know, at any given time, they need 20 or more, you know, starts to give them a break. Last year, their method to their madness was to give him time off and practice and manage that and make sure he got his workouts and stuff. And that sounded good, but I'm not 100% sure that, you know, that played out like they thought it would, you know, in the course of, you know, the playoffs and especially at the end of the regular season.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned, he's played a ton of hockey. Yeah. And it's not been regular hockey. I mean, I know the
that's COVID, intense hockey.
Yeah, the COVID shortened seasons, mm-hmm. but it also scrunched it together and added new layer of stress that people had to deal with.
Yep.
When I went back and looked at his numbers, and I'm going like, oh yeah, that's right. There was like two games where they had to bring up the two goalies from Syracuse, Legacy and Afnault. And they were starting because, you know, Elliott and Vasilevskiy were out on COVID protocol. Yeah. Now, hopefully we're done with that. But, you know, the idea of him not playing as much, to me, seems to be something that should be a priority going forward, you know, next season. Elliott did well. I think he was like 11-4, had a 9, 10, 11, 12 save percentage. Now, granted, he probably, you know, got to, you know, cherry pick some of the weaker teams. Yeah. But that's what the backup goaltender is supposed to do. Yeah. He's supposed to come in and allow you to beat the lesser teams so your top goalie gets the night off. And, you know, hopefully whatever that, you know, Vasilevskiy stays healthy and he's getting the rest and everything that he needs. Because I expect another playoff run.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Elliott's like you say, he's not like he's a bad goaltender. He can come in, he can play and give you a solid back there. So why not put him in?
Yeah.
I remember 2 years ago, I wrote an article about them needing to let McElhinney play more to arrest him. And then the next like two or three games he came in, McElhinney like let in like 6-7 goals. And it's like, I probably just ruined that experiment. So that's probably why they didn't go to Elliott too much last year. Cause you know,
Yeah, I know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I think they should. I mean, Vasilevskiy is an amazing goaltender, but he is human. He is not a robot, so he needs to he needs to get some rest too. All right. Well, let's talk about how they match up. Vasilevskiy, obviously, one of the best goaltenders in the NHL still. Where do they kind of match in this? Are they towards the top? Are they the top? What do you think?
Well, I mean, I think if you take a look and you think that Vasilevskiy and Shesterkin are the two best goalies in the NHL, then, you know, they're at the top. you know, the rest of the teams, you know, Toronto, we'll see what they are. You know, Florida has decent goaltending. Boston, we'll see. But, you know, as far as, you know, that goes, you know, you have the best, if not one of the best goalies in the NHL. So, you know, they're just fine, you know, for the Atlantic Division there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, speaking of the best goalie in the NHL, you, my friend Jim, are going to do your best Vasilevskiy impression as we move into our quickfire round and we whip some questions at you. So, for this segment, we're going to ask you some questions. We'll go back and forth. We want to get your either one word answer or one word and then a sentence or two to kind of explain your answer. But go ahead and just give us what you have right off the cuff. So, kicking things off, what is the biggest storyline or question mark for the Tampa Bay Lightning heading into the 2022-23 season?
Can they reach their fourth straight Stanley Cup?
Yeah. Good one. There you go. One or two breakout stars.
I would like to say Ross Colton that we talked about before. And this is more maybe kind of a hope than it is Cal Foote.
Yeah.
I would like to see him break out just for, you know, a variety of different reasons, just for the team and little side note, his dad was my son's favorite player growing up. So there you go. We know the Foote family well from that.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think he's poised for a big year too.
Yeah.
Who is one player that needs a bounce back from last season?
It's a guy we didn't talk about on defense. It's Philippe Myers. Mm-hmm. We would like to see, I think Tampa would like to see, and why they didn't, like, you know, take him and get rid of his salary is we want the Philippe Myers from the 2020 bubble when he was with Philly.
Yeah.
That was a really good defenseman.
Oh, he was playing really well.
It didn't pan out in Nashville. Maybe it will in Tampa.
I totally forgot about him. I kind of, maybe in my back of my mind, I thought they bought him out when they got him. There we go. So, yeah, there's a guy, part of the new additions too. All right. One player that could be an X factor this season.
Well, I think that's going to have to be Nemestikov. And I think his versatility to be able to play all forward positions and go up and down in the top nine is going to be that X factor for him.
Excellent. Do the Tampa Bay Lightning have a rookie or prospect that could surprise and make the roster out of training camp?
Yes, they do. They have a bunch of them. They're going to have a really good competition because of Cirelli's being injured. I think on the forward part, you're going to look at Cole Koepke, Alex Barry-Burré, and Fortier are going to be in the battle because they could actually probably get some minutes. And the same thing on defense, if something doesn't pan out, they got like Nick Perbix and Sean Day, you know, waiting to possibly step up too.
Yeah, Sean Day has been an interesting storyline since he was an exceptional entry into the OHL.
Yeah. Isn't Barry Boulay, he was the one that bounced around different places. He went to the Kraken and then he came back and... Yep.
Yeah, and he was up and down last year too. He's been on the cusp the last 2 years.
Yeah, because he was like claimed on waivers
he had a very interesting last season. Became a father for the first time, it was a tough year for him personally. I mean, there's a lot of stress involved in all of that.
Yeah. Which team are you going to be on today?
And you couldn't pick two further teams to travel.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, you got one up here, one down here.
Vancouver, but you got Seattle and Tampa. Let's go. Let's fly some back and forth across the country and going up north to Syracuse. So,
yeah. Oh, that too.
Rack up those miles for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll be an interesting one to watch. All right. What other players should fans be watching we have not mentioned yet?
Oh, I think you're going to have to take a look at the fourth line with, with guys like Pat Maroon, Pierre Edward Belmore, and Corey Perry. They're some of the older veterans. We didn't talk about them. Those are guys that, you know, step in and they do minutes and stuff like that. You're going to have to watch and see. I think one of the things about keeping some of these prospects around is they may get some nights off. Mm-hmm. And I know hockey players hate that. This is not the NBA where they take maintenance days and all that other stuff. They want to play. But I think the reality is, you know, those three guys being, you know, a little or a couple of them are, you know, Corey, I think Perry's like almost 40 now, isn't he? With, you know, so, you know, I think that's the thing that you're going to have to watch for is to see how that fourth line, third, you know, Perry will probably be up on the third to start the season, but how they pan out and how they're doing in these full seasons, especially coming after off a long playoff season.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting to see if Perry can do what he did last year. He had 20 goals, right?
Yeah. So.
Yes. And, and be a great instigator, which I think, you know, helps out, you know, he's a guy you love to hate and you hate him on your team. So
absolutely. And between him and Maroon, they could have that quite well covered on that, bottom six. So
yeah.
All right. Let's see who's going to lead the team in scoring for forwards.
Oh, that's going to be Stamkos.
All right. And then defense.
It Hedman, yeah. Those pretty, are easy, quick fire
pretty
questions.
Pretty easy ones. Yeah. Any
different. There's some teams that are harder.
There's some teams that's like, you know who it's going to be before you would start. Like,
yeah.
I mean, maybe if something happens with Nemestikov, maybe Kucherov, but I think, you know, the chalk is Stamkos and Hedman.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. All right. One player that could either be traded or acquired before the deadline.
That's tough because, you know, depending on what you do with the salary cap, I mean, I think they might look for another Nick Paul kind of guy. I think anytime you can bring a character guy in like that, maybe another veteran that's kind of only got a season or two left and doesn't have that ring and says, this might be my last chance. Can you trade me there? And can I be a part of that? I think that's the kind of people, you know, that they're, you know, would probably look to bring in, you know, at the trade deadline to help bolster them for a playoff run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. All right. This is the fun part, Jim. Give us one bold prediction or hot take for the 2022-23 season.
My bold prediction is that you will see the Tampa Bay Lightning in the Stanley Cup final at the end of the season.
I mean, is that bold now? I mean, for four years in a row, that's pretty bold, but I mean, it almost seems like a given.
It does, but it isn't because they're still, you know, like you said, they didn't get better. They didn't get really worse, but you know, there's some other teams. Will Florida be Florida like they were when they won the President's Cup? And you look on the Eastern side, you know, the Rangers, you know, among, you know,
Ottawa got a lot better.
Carolina.
Carolina's getting better. Like it's going, that's going to be I mean, the East is tough, right? We've been talking about this. Their first time ever, all eight teams in one conference hit 100 points last year.
Yeah.
Yes. And so, you know, if you're not hitting triple digit points, you're not in the playoffs. That's a tough division, tough conference to be in, no matter who you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
And the teams, like I said, the teams that got better that didn't make the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
And it's going to be interesting and it's going to be fun to see what kind of happens. All right. Well, we're talking about standings. So let's talk about it. Where will the Lightning finish in the standings? And you already said this. And they will make the final to the fourth straight year, but where will they finish?
I think right now, if I was a betting man, I would probably say they will finish the same as they did last year in the Atlantic. I think you're going to go Florida, Toronto, Tampa, and Boston. You know, I think Tampa will be solidly right there. I know a lot of those teams, Buffalo, Detroit, Ottawa got better. I don't think they're there yet this coming season. maybe the season after that, we might see some changing around. But I think, you know, I think they'll be solidly locked in the third position in the Atlantic at the end of the season.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead, Matt.
No, I was saying the one team that I can see kind of getting bumped out is Boston.
I was going to say that too. I think Boston might be a little bit worse off than they were. Again, it's going to depend on how they do at the start of the season, because they're going to be missing two very key pieces up until Thanksgiving. And we've said many, many times, wherever you are at American Thanksgiving is generally where you are when the playoffs begin to start. So they could be in too big of a hole. And then Toronto is another big question mark for me, just because I don't think they got any better at their goaltending. And that was kind of a big key for them last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I think if Tampa did anything, I think they could flip flop with Toronto. Mm-hmm. You know, Toronto could be three and Tampa could be two.
Yeah.
But
maybe Ottawa, Boston compete for that four.
Yeah.
Toronto just has so much firepower.
That's true.
I kind of wonder if they're going like, yeah, we'll just outscore you.
Yeah. They're basically going to be the Oilers of the 80s, where they're just hoping to win 7-5, you know, eight to six.
Yeah, we'll see. That's going to be, like I say, the East is just, it's stacked. A dogfight. It's going to be insane this year. The Metropolitan Division and just the Metro. Okay, well, thanks, Jim, for coming on. But to finish our show, we always do our articles of the day. We're not going to pick one. You're going to pick one. Either it could be your own. A lot of writers have done that coming on. Or you can pick one from the Tampa Bay Lightning writing team. So what do you got?
I think one thing for us is we've done some previews of the other teams as we talked about and how they compare with the Lightning. But I think going on what we just talked about, there's an interesting article that Lydia, and I'm sorry if I mispronounce her name, Saika, wrote about how Tampa doesn't have to win the division. You know, again, you know, the president's trophy is nice, but it's a little overrated. And it's nice to have home ice advantage, but you know, it's kind of Tampa proved last year, it's not really a necessity. So I think that was a really interesting article that she did a week or two ago that would be, you know, a nice read following about what we just talked about.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, Jim, for coming on. Make sure you're following Jim's writing, Lydia's writing, all the Tampa Bay Lightning contributors. They do a great job of doing a great job with those previews. I've edited a few of them. You know, those great primers, if you want to know about the opponents that they're going to be playing next year. So take a look at those. And of course, check out all the writing at thehockeywriters.com. Lots of previews coming out. Not just the YouTube stuff, but for all the teams, there's a bunch of preview articles. We're kind of getting tired of doing them because we want the season to start, but start talking about real games rather than just anticipating. But preseason just around the corner when we're recording this, that is, and we'll have lots to talk about as we go. So thanks, Jim, for coming on.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, so we'll have to have you on the podcast throughout the season, talk about the Lightning, either on our Monday video edition or just throughout the week. So
absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, make sure to check in all that and our Morning Skate newsletter, morningskate.io. You can check that out in the description. Also our quick fire with the Hawk Raiders. We're going to get a few more out before the regular season starts, but check that out on the YouTube channel. That's also in the description below the link if you want to take a look at that. And we'll see you next time on another preview show at the Hockey Writers Podcast.